This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Great to be back behind the microphone. Coming up, Congress could be on the verge of repealing Obamacare now that the negotiations with the House Freedom Caucus have resulted in their support for the measure. Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss, a member of the Conservative Caucus, joins me in just a few moments. And tension is building with North Korea as the rogue nation put on a historic display of military capability. Is a showdown looming with the Hermit Nation? Arkansas Senator John Bozeman is here on that story. Also, the American College of Pediatricians is calling out their colleagues at the American Academy of Pediatrics for their blatant political correctness that they say is endangering children. Dr. Quentin Van Meter with the American College of Pediatricians explains a little later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's program right there at the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. And by the way, my thanks to Sandy Rios and Dr. Everett Piper for filling in for me the last few days as I was out on a kind of a planning strategy session with my senior team. A great meeting and very productive, actually. But it's great to be back behind the microphone talking to you. And a little bit later, that's exactly what we're going to do. 866-372-7234. Jot down that number a little bit later when we open up the phone lines. But first, with the House Freedom Caucus announcing their support, and I told you, I said, be watching for this. Now, the media was kind of said it was over. There was not going to be a repeal. I said, watch, because these discussions, which I was a part of, were going on during the Easter break. And the Freedom Caucus, when they returned to D.C. this week, announced their support for the measure that will repeal Obamacare. And that means the House is inching closer to a vote that will be the beginning of the end for one of the greatest policy failures of the Obama administration. Believe me, that's saying a lot, because there was a lot of failed policy coming out of the 8 years of the Barack Obama administration. Representative Jody Heiss represents the 10th Congressional District of the State of Georgia, and he is a member of the House Freedom Caucus, and he joins us now. Jody, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Always a great, great honor to be on with you.
Now, the Freedom Caucus, which you're a part of, and you were a part of the negotiations, they reached an agreement, a pretty high threshold they have for agreeing as a caucus, 80% having to agree on a measure. And after intense negotiations over a few weeks, you reached a point where the caucus is now in favor of repealing the repeal measure of Obamacare.
Yeah, it really has been a great 4 weeks, really. It's been an extremely intense period of time. And Tony, the bottom line, the previous bill was, in my opinion, it was just not ready for prime time. But frankly, it was horrible for a replacement. People would see their premiums increase 15 to 20%, and that's just totally unacceptable for us as Republicans to replace Obamacare with something that's going to raise premiums after what's already been a disaster, as you referred to. So our battleground over the last 4 weeks has been primarily focused on lowering premiums for people, and tons of negotiating, as you mentioned, from the president, the vice president, the White House staff, various groups within our conference. It's been just an incredible time, and a lot of ground has been made, and we have reached an agreement.
Yeah, and I think the acid test of success will be the fact that premium cost will go down for the American family. And that's what the Freedom Caucus was holding out for, because as you pointed out, there was nothing in the first bill that would have reduced those premiums. In fact, as you said, it would have led to a rise in those premiums. And now we're at a point where I think we will see cost reductions. All of the measures as it pertained to human life and, you know, abortion and shielding taxpayers from being forced to be partners with, you know, the abortion industry, all those protections are in the bill. It's a solid pro-life bill. It's now solid on the fiscal front. Your expectation in terms of the support it's going to find in the House as a whole?
You know, that's still, I'm doing a lot of asking on that. You know, everyone has pretty much been feeling that once the Freedom Caucus came on board, it's good to go, and I think that's accurate. I think we're there. I've not heard the numbers from the whip as to whether or not the votes are there. We'll wait and see. They've not called for the vote yet, but I feel very confident we will get this thing over the finish line, perhaps even as rapidly as this weekend. I think it is important, Tony. People need to understand this is still not a repeal. We are still fighting for a full repeal of Obamacare, but what this does, it is the best and the closest that we're going to get with the conference and the makeup that we currently have in Congress, and it does place the ability for states to take it even further and to be waived out of the essential parts of Obamacare that, in essence, will repeal the thing in full, which in itself is also good because I believe, many of us believe, that the federal government needs to be out of the health care market altogether. And this bill does give enormous authority for states to do that. But there's other things that still will need to be done to totally get rid of this thing. But this is an enormous step forward. It is going to lower premiums, and it's the first huge step of taking the teeth out of perhaps the most disastrous bill in America's history.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. My guest, Jody Heiss, Congressman of Georgia. Congressman, you're absolutely right, and we spoke extensively about this prior to the break and even during the break, that this repeal bill is not a total repeal bill because it's limited in what it can do because it's a part of the reconciliation package. Therefore, it can only address budgetary issues. But it essentially, as we describe it, guts Obamacare. It eliminates the individual mandate, the employer mandate, some of the taxes that support it. And so it's really a shell. But there's still too much government involved in it. But I think people need to understand what you just said. Given the constraints of the current Senate, where you would have to get to the 60-vote threshold, this is the only way you get at least a large portion of this repealed is through the reconciliation bill.
That's right, and it's the best we're going to be able to get at this point, and it does accomplish what had to happen in terms of lowering the cost. And in addition to that, none of the pro-life issues were removed, as you pointed out a few moments ago. So this is, you know, I'm excited that we're going to be able to get this thing hopefully over the finish line, perhaps even this weekend. And, you know, then at that point, the ball is in the court of the Senate. Hopefully they will take it without a whole lot of changes, and we'll be able to have a huge win across the board. But, I've been extremely encouraged with the involvement of the White House in this. It shows that we have an administration that does care about these critical issues, and they're willing to get down to the nitty-gritty with all of us. And that's not just with the Freedom Caucus. I mean, they have been heavily involved in all of the negotiations, and that's been extremely encouraging and directly opposite of the previous administration that we had to work with.
Well, that's putting it mildly. You mentioned the pro-life. I want to mention one other aspect of this, which I know you have been very outspoken on and supportive of, and that is the fact that we're going to see the bulk of funding, about 86% of the funding that goes to Planned Parenthood, will be eliminated for a year through this reconciliation measure.
Yes, and that's huge. I mean, this is, you know, we have all, those of us who are pro-life, Tony, we've been for years, anything that we could do to move the ball forward in terms of defunding Planned Parenthood has just been like a top priority. And, you know, the fact that we're able to do so for 1 year is a huge step in the right direction. And if we can do it for 1 year, hopefully we'll be able to come at the end of that 1 year and continue that defunding and hopefully make it permanent. But just the fact that we've been able to get a one-year defund on the table, in the books, in the bill, and hopefully to pass the floor and get the Senate, get the signature of the president, this is an enormous step forward. And, I just could not be more excited about that. We're talking in the ballpark of almost $400 million. I mean, this is just a ton of money that they receive every year. And to be able to remove that even for 1 year, hopefully permanently, is just a huge, huge victory for pro-life.
It is very, very significant. Congressman Jody Heiss, as always, thanks for joining us. Great to talk with you today.
Tony, my pleasure. God bless.
All right, Congressman Jody Heiss, who also, by the way, is the co-author on the bill to repeal the Johnson Amendment, along with the majority whip, Steve Scalise. And by the way, Scalise, he made reference to the whip. I did talk with the House whip earlier today, and a vote could come any time if the votes are there. We could see a vote tomorrow. We could see a vote. I doubt they're going to stay in over the weekend, but you can see it the first part of next week. They're ready to move forward on this. And the Family Research Council has announced that we're supporting this bill based upon those pro-life provisions that are in there, the defunding of Planned Parenthood. Let me say how significant that is. He made reference to that. It's the first time. Now, the Vice President, Mike Pence, when he was in Congress representing Indiana's, not sure what district it was, maybe it was the 4th District, but when he was represented from Indiana, he carried, and he was also, I think, at the, he was the conference chairman. He had a leadership position, but he pushed forward with a repeal or with a funding ban on Planned Parenthood, a defunding measure. And it was a difficult fight. I got it out of the House. Of course, it died in the Senate. This would be significant. It'll be the first time we see the bulk of funding to Planned Parenthood go away. About 86% of their funding, which is about, they get about $500 million a year from taxpayers. Now, you'd say, well, it's only a year. But once it happens, I think the door is open. And that's why Planned Parenthood, their president, Richards, is fighting so desperately to hold on to that funding, because they know if it happens one time, it can happen again. It's like the four-minute mile. You know, nobody ever thought you could run the four-minute mile. But once it happened, then within months, multiple people did it. Once it's done, it can happen again. So it's important that you contact your member of Congress and encourage them to be supportive of this repeal bill. Now, again, it's not perfect, and there's more to be done, and I hope we'll be able to go back and get all of Obamacare repealed and move away from this whole socialistic push that we've seen in recent years, and, of course, Obama took his head first into. But this is a start. I mean, we should not pass this opportunity to start the process. So if you've not yet communicated with your member of Congress, you can do so. The Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. And let them know that you want to see them stand with the president and repeal Obamacare, a large portion of it, because that's what the bill does. All right. Not only are there challenges on the domestic front, but internationally as well. North Korea showing a massive display of their military capabilities. Tensions are growing. Could we be headed for a showdown with the little chubby fellow with bad hair in North Korea? We're going to be talking with the senator from the state of Arkansas, Senator Bozeman, when we return. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
We at the American Family Association believe men should not be allowed to use women's restrooms or dressing rooms. Yet the policy of Target allows just that. Do you agree that this policy poses danger to our women and children? Then sign the Boycott Target Pledge. When you do, you're saying, until Target makes the safety of women and children a priority, I'll shop elsewhere. The good news is the boycott is making a big difference. A Target financial report indicates a dramatic drop in their sales and earnings. And a Wall Street Journal article clearly shows that Target CEO Brian Cornell regrets his company's policy announcement welcoming men to use women's restrooms and dressing rooms. We're convinced that together we can stop this insanity before more women and children become victims. Sign the pledge today and tell others about the boycott. Go to afa.net/target. That's afa.net/target.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. Vacation's a wonderful thing. Even a day off to do something unusual. You can relax and hope to get away from your daily pressures and rest your mind. But days off also bring opportunities to talk with new people you wouldn't otherwise meet. People that God wants to bring under the influence of Christians, if only for a moment. Like an exclamation point to a message he's already delivering to them. Always be ready to give a kind word to someone struggling to serve your request or praise for the overachiever doing the same thing, followed by a sincere God bless you as you look them in the eye. Even simple things like this can serve as God's reminders to struggling people that God loves them. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of the church by moving every person you're with today and every day closer to Jesus. And if you want to know how to do that, go to ROTW.com.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Pre-order your copy today at afastore.net.
Washington Watch, I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right, Defense Secretary James Mattis and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson call North Korea a growing threat to the U.S. and our allies. Yesterday, U.S. senators went to the White House for an update on North Korea. With us now is Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas. He serves as chairman of the Subcommittee on Homeland Security. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you so much, as always, for having me.
Well, Senator, you've expressed concern over North Korea's actions. They put on a military display trying to, I think, intimidate South Korea and even the United States. How serious is this situation in your estimation?
I think it's really serious. Not only are they trying to intimidate South Korea, but Japan is sitting over there taking all this in, and most, all of these societies have been at each other for centuries, and so we have treaties to provide protection for Japan, for South Korea. So it is very, very serious. The leader of North Korea is an unstable person, to say the least. You have a country that the average person is probably about 5 inches shorter because they're malnourished to that degree. So there's just all kinds of stuff going on. They are unabashedly seeking to shrink the size of their nuclear weapons so that they can mount them on ballistic missiles that would be capable of reaching the United States. So these are really serious things, not to mention the ability perhaps to give to an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda or some other rogue state a nuclear device. So I think the president is doing a very, very good job of working with our allies, particularly with China. They get a lot of the things that they need from China. China's had a relationship with them. But I think at this point we're getting to the situation where China's really wondering, if all of this is worth it. So, again, I would give the president right now high marks in the way that he's handling.
So, Senator Bozeman, based on the briefing with the administration yesterday at the White House, do you get a sense of the President Trump's strategy? I mean, is it to basically lean on China, or is there more to that?
No, I think, it's basically to, and again, these are all things that we've read in the paper in regard to the strategy with our allies, but leaning on China and just doing a good job of that. And I don't think that leaning is correct. I think they really are, actively engaged, both of them realizing that they're, I think even China is seeing that there's a threat. If you have a situation where, for whatever reason, you had conflict, then China would have many, many refugees on its doorstep. The other problem is they don't like all of this military presence, U.S. presence. You can imagine if, something was going on in Mexico and we had the Chinese fleet here and things. So for lots of different reasons, I think they're starting to cooperate. But also our allies on the Security Council, looking to them so that we can perhaps get some strong sanctions on the U.N., go ahead and ratchet up even more trade sanctions, things that would hit them even harder.
You mentioned the possibility of them providing nuclear devices to somebody like ISIS or another rogue nation. How serious is that concern?
Well, and that wasn't mentioned yesterday, but it is something that I think we all worry about. Probably not only that, but technology that people like the Iranians as to how you do these things, because they are moving also with their ballistic missile capability. But I think that the North Koreans are in a situation where I would not put anything past them as far as trying to make it more difficult, for the United States.
Senator Bozeman, part of that strategy, I think, that the administration pursuing, there's been some discussion about putting North Korea on the list of state sponsors of terrorism. Do you think that's the right move? Is that a step that is appropriate for the United States to make?
Yeah, no, I think that would be very appropriate. What's happened in the past is that North Korea has done things, provoked us, provoked others in the world. And as a result, countries have said, look, if you'll just kind of settle down and not be as belligerent, we're going to give you some aid in this form or that form. And the United States, and yet, them going ahead and continuing their efforts to go forward, with nuclear testing and all these kind of things, that's really been their only form of income is,
right.
That's how they essentially make a living. But now Trump has said, hey, we're not going to go down this path that much. We're not going down that path because it's not going to be, we don't know how long, but the path that they're following will make it such that in the not too distant future, they'll have a weapon that's small enough to reach the United States, and that would pose great threat to us and to the allies in the region.
My sense, Senator Bozeman, is that there's people, international actors, that don't realize that we now have a leader who actually means what he says, and that's not something we've had in a long time.
No, you're exactly right, and right now we're seeing record lows of crossing the border, and that's because we've got a workforce down there, the Border Patrol, that their morale is through the roof in the sense that they're very pleased that they can start doing their job again, what they were trained to do. And as a result, border crossings have dropped dramatically. And what we're finding is if you enforce the law and the people that are coming from Central America, Mexico, other countries in the region, if they see that you're picking them up, sending them home, then they're not going to risk their life savings to get here. And so the president's done a great job on border security. Really, without doing a lot of fencing. We're going to do some fencing down there. We're going to secure the border, even more. But it appears that the greatest, security is just enforcing the law. So we can be very proud of that.
That's an amazing thing.
I think the president can start claiming victory on that.
Yeah. Senator John Bozeman, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thank you, and you're right. Like I said, we've got a president that means business and is going to do what he says. So thank you so much for having me, as always.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Senator John Bozeman. Find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, folks, don't go away. We're right back after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
This week's all about earnings primarily. Yes, we have news of President Trump talking about what his tax plan looks like. Of course, we know that he has called in all the senators, I assume they will all show up, into the White House to talk about tax reform, and I'm sure a number of other things on his agenda. Look, there are so many people talking about this first 100 days of the Trump administration. It is totally irrelevant in the grand scheme of things. I know even Donald Trump himself talked about the first 100 days. Ultimately, understand, and I hope the president does, that he is going to be judged on his first term as president. And so much of that is going to be about the economy. Look, there's a real simple thing, and that is to start winning when it comes to the economy. This is like a coach that follows a coach that has one of the worst records in their prospective sport. It's pretty hard to do too much wrong. So I think if he continues to push tax reform, continue to help the middle class get back on their feet with better jobs, higher wages, more jobs, increasing labor participation, increasing factory output here in the U.S., and thereby growing the economy with a much more simplified tax code, it's going to be a win when it comes time for campaigning after this 4 years.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. All right, the American College of Pediatricians is calling out their colleagues at the American Academy of Pediatrics for their blatant political correctness that is endangering children. Dr. Quentin Van Meter with the American College of Pediatricians is here to explain. Dr. Van Meter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, there seems to be a little hypocrisy maybe over there. Among your colleagues at the American Academy of Pediatrics. Explain to our listeners what you guys called them out for recently.
Well, in April, the American Academy of Pediatrics published in their daily briefing an excerpt from a study that was published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, which showed that 14-year-olds were found to lack the ability, perceptual judgment and ability and skills to be able to get across a busy intersection in traffic. And so that statement was made, and it struck us as being rather interesting that the same American Academy of Pediatrics has strongly approved the fact that 14-year-olds and younger can make decisions without parental consent about making changes in their gender identity to conform to what they currently feel might be a better gender for them than they believe they were born into. And this is just sort of the peak of hypocrisy. On one hand, a 14-year-old can't have a judgment, should not be expected to cross a street, but that same 14-year-old has all the tools and perception and capability of being able to change their gender at will.
Something just doesn't add up there. I think on its face you can see that, and of course there is broad consensus that cognitive immaturity and impaired risk assessment during adolescence is recognized. I mean that's a factor, but
right.
To say
up
that they can't cross
up to age
right, and that's reflected.
You know, the brain is just not put together to make, you know, decisions of complexity and long-standing issues that affect the rest of your life. Now, people do make those decisions at those ages because of circumstances beyond their control. But to be able to grant them that capability, when particularly in something so life-changing as saying, "I'm going to take cross-sex hormones. I'm going to block my own pubertal maturation. And then when I get to the age of surgical consent, I'm going to have my body physically permanently changed to the opposite sex if I can. That is essentially an abuse situation when it's done before the age of consent. It's abuse by the physicians who would do that. It's abuse by the parents who would sign for it. And to think that a child can be protected from crossing a street, but no, they can on their own make that decision. It just is so absolutely out of sync with reality, and it all has to do with just being politically correct. And that's where children come to harm, when the wants and needs of parents take advantage and take precedent over what is really the very best for children. We are a nation in decline.
And I believe, Dr. Van Meter, that the AAP has gone to the point of actually supporting certain policies that would prohibit parents from being involved in those decisions that their children make regarding sex changes. And
absolutely.
I mean, that's beyond hypocrisy. And I think you have pointed that out at the American College of Pediatricians, that this is child abuse. That's what we're talking about.
Well, also the fact that the legislation which is being brought up now on the Democrat side of the House and Senate to pass a bill which nationally forbids any kind of therapy that would make a transgender child conform to their natal sex, essentially outlaw that, is just the most amazingly abhorrent concept. To think that if you have a child with that degree of internal suffering, which is not really made better by giving in and making those changes hormonally or physically, those children suffer mightily as young adults and older adults. The data is in; it's irrefutable. It's painful because it's not what the LGBT activists would like us to believe, but it is the truth. And so we're allowing our medical profession to be bullied into essentially not being able to do right of conscience therapy. What we believe is correct and moral and appropriate in a medical setting.
Dr. Van Meter, we're almost out of time, but one final question for you very quickly. Is you take this issue, does this not concern you if medicine has been shackled by political correctness, where else this might lead?
It's a wide open field, and that it's a scary thought. There's enough politics in medicine and publishing and getting your research out to the people that need to hear about it. There's enough of that internally in academic medicine and publishing to make it a broad, essentially legal issue. It impinges on our ability as physicians to essentially keep the Hippocratic Oath intact. And that will be a very sad day when and if that happens.
Dr. Quentin Van Meter, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Washington Watch.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I tell you what, folks, that's scary stuff. But that is the level of political correctness and hypocrisy that they don't even blush. That a 14-year-old can't walk across the street, but they can get a sex change without their parents' permission or involvement. Amazing. Amazing. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to go to the phone lines here on Washington Watch. So don't go away, because we're going to be talking to you when we return here on Washington Watch.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Join Norman Geisler, Richard Land, Michael Brown, Frank Turek, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Register by May 1st and receive a special gift. Visit ses.edu for details.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
All right, folks, we are coming up on the conclusion of the first 100 days of the Trump administration. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, a couple of things. We're going to go to the phone lines, and here's what we're going to talk about. We didn't really cover this in the topics today, but I want to shift to it because I've done a number of interviews in the last couple of days regarding the first 100 days. How's President Trump done in these first 100 days? I think these first 100 days are very important because when I was in high school, I ran track. And, you know, you want to set a good pace in how you come out of the chute and you the starting blocks and you get going and you set the pace and it has an effect upon the entire race. You don't want to overdo it. You don't want to underdo it. You want to get just at the right pace. And so these 100 days, that's what it kind of does. It sets the pace. And so I want to get your thoughts on how well you think President Trump has done in these first 100 days. So that's what we're going to be talking about here. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Trying to do three things at one time. Didn't work. How do you think the president has done in these first 100 days? Okay, I was going to mention this at the website, TonyPerkins.com. We have coming up at the end of May, really just less than a month away, right out a month away, our Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Conference. If you're a pastor, I invite you to come and be our guest here at the annual Watchmen on the Wall briefing for pastors and their wives. And to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. It is primarily underwritten by the Family Research Council, our supporters. Pastors make a small registration fee, and it's a great event. Dr. Tony Evans will be there. James Robinson will be there. Mark Batterson will be there. We got a whole list of folks. You can find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, to find out more. Again, number 866-372-7234, the number to call to talk about these first 100 days of the Obama administration What do you think? How has he done? What grade would you give him? Let's go to Oklahoma, where Matthew is on the line. Matthew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking my call, and thank you for all you're doing.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Sir, I think he's done pretty well, considering everything that has come against him and the firestorm that continues to come against him. I don't know exactly. I guess if I was going to grade it, I'd say probably about a B. I would love to see a skinny budget passed and a wall built, but I also think that that may take a little time. I'm curious, do you think that possibly he's going to be able to get this budget pushed through with the wall by, you know how they used, I think they call it the nuclear option, for Gorsuch? Can they do the same thing to get the budget passed this time?
Yeah, good question, Matthew. The legislative filibuster is different than the judicial filibuster. There is no precedent really until, you know, maybe a little over a decade ago where they started using the filibuster to block judicial nominees. And so that was completely separate. So no. There are some that would like to do away with the legislative filibuster. It would be a little harder to do. Actually, be a lot harder to do. Could be done, possibly. But, I mean, the legislative bodies, whether it's the United States Senate, House of Representatives, or, you know, a state legislature, they have the ability to adopt whatever rules they want to operate by. So, yes, it could go away, but it's very unlikely. And I'm not sure that it would be a good thing to eliminate the legislative filibuster, because the majority of the time, the Republicans and conservatives, even always the Republicans are in the minority. I mean, the conservatives are in the minority, but there's been the majority of the time you have had the Republicans in the minority, and they've used the filibuster to stop a lot of bad things. So an argument can be made either way. I think what would be better is, of course, it's not going to happen anytime soon. Came close before, but that was a line item veto allowing the president to eliminate some of these things out of the budget. That should become a push again for that. I think people underestimate the power of this president. The thing about this president is that, you know, if he runs into opposition, he doesn't just, you know, pack up and go home. He just keeps going until he's able to get it accomplished. And so I think that's one of the reasons he's established, a pretty impressive record in the first 100 days. I would like to see more. I would probably up it just a bit, Matthew. I'd probably give him a B+. I would still like to see him issue an executive order on religious liberty, which I think might be coming. That I think would be good, because we see religious liberty under attack. In fact, we were going to talk about that today internationally. The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom releasing a report on the threats of Russia, putting Russia on the list now. And I consistently, and in fact, talked about that today in our daily update, there is a connection with this growing problem internationally with religious hostility and the loss of religious freedom, and the continued hostility we're seeing here at home domestically toward religious freedom. I mean, look, a lot of these policies that Barack Obama put in place are still there, and they're not going to go away on their own. They have to be intentionally taken out by this administration. And so for the president to get an A, in my opinion, he needs to do that. And I'm hopeful that he may. Matthew, again, thanks so much for the call. We're going to stay in Oklahoma. We're going to talk to Ken. Ken, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call, Tony. I appreciate it very much.
All right, what are your thoughts, Ken?
I got to give him an A. I feel like he's done a great job considering what he's had to work with, which includes a Republican majority in the Congress. I feel like he could do better if those guys would get off the dime and get to work. I don't see much happening in the Congress. You know the three people who represent me in the Congress, I live in Oklahoma City, I write them emails nearly daily saying, what is it going to take for you guys to get something done and support this president, who, by the way, got elected by the people because he talked about making changes that the people want. So I give him an A. The Congress, not so much.
Okay, fair enough. And I think, Ken, you're right in there where 94% of those who supported Donald Trump in the election, 94% of those who supported him give him a high approval rating as he hits this 100-day mark. And that's one of the things folks need to be aware of. You know, the media saying, oh, he's got these historic lows in terms of approval rating. Well, look, I mean, you've got the left is unhinged. The media has become their megaphone. And, yeah, so the people who hated him, didn't vote for him, and want to destroy America are opposed to him. Yeah, okay, I didn't expect that to change. But for those who support him, they're still there. They think he's doing what he said he was going to do. Again, I'd like to see more, but I am not going to say that he's not going to do those things. I think given time, given all of the things that he's had to balance. In fact, I was, I think it was the USA Today, I was doing an interview with him today about this. Look, given everything that he's had to confront, the mess that was left by the previous administration and the international issues, I mean, North Korea, we were just talking about that, Iran, Syria, everything happening in the Middle East. I mean, yeah, he's got a lot to do. And I think he's done a fair amount in the first 100 days. All right, we're going to try to work in a few more calls here. Let's go to Missouri where Linda has been waiting. Linda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I think Trump is doing a great job in, for our men that's fought in the military and our women. He's trying to help them. What did Hillary and Obama do? They took away a lot of the stuff they needed to fight with. And let's think about Benghazi. What about that? I'm proud of President Trump. I think he's doing a great job, and there's other things to consider here. There's wars go on, and the Democrats have to face this, that the only thing that's keeping us going right now is Trump. Did we want to go backwards or forward? Press forward.
Yeah, And I think there's a lot of folks see it the same way. And the thing is those who are, again, I give this disclaimer. Not everything this president is going to do am I going to agree with, but there's a lot that he is doing that I do agree with. And I did share this with a reporter the other day, and it's been published, so I'll say it again. You know, I've actually been to the White House more in the first 4 months of this administration than I was during the whole Bush term. He is concerned about what evangelicals think because they were such a significant part of his support base. And so I think it's he is concerned, he's listening, and I think he's responding to the, you know, with all things considered. Now, again, still more to do, not time to take our hands off, can never become complacent, but we have reason for optimism, in my view. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Alabama, where Brad is on the line. Brad, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I want to say real quickly, I think that the president, I'll give him an A-. His only problem I see right now is taking on the Freedom Caucus when he shouldn't have. That's his support. And let me add one more thing. I'm an academic physician. The last time I remember when academic physicians or any physicians got co-opted by the government was Nazi Germany's medical experiments. With that, I'll say goodbye.
Hmm. Good point. 866-372-7234. Well, look, as I said, the vast majority of those who supported Donald Trump, 94% say he's doing a good job. First 100 days, I believe it is important. It's important from, as I said, it sets the pace for what's to come. And he's done a lot. He really has. And, of course, he's been met with opposition at every front. I mean, look what happened, these sanctuary cities. A lot of the stuff I didn't get to talk about because I've been off the radio for the last 3 days at this retreat with my senior team. But this judge out in San Francisco, the Ninth Circuit, blocking the president, saying we're not going to give money to these cities that violate the law on sanctuary cities, and a federal judge blocks it and says you can't do that. I mean, every time they turn around, they're trying to block what he is doing. And the federal government uses these strings all the time. I mean, and I know this from personal experience in the Louisiana legislature, where we had to lower our speed limit, or we were going to lose highway dollars. We had to, and some of the things might be good. They had mandatory seatbelt laws, or you're going to lose highway dollars. They wanted to make us use this reformulated fuel in certain parishes, that's the equivalent of counties, because they said the air quality suffered. And if we didn't do it, we were going to lose highway dollars. I mean, the federal government is always using dollars to coax states to do what they want. And this is no different. All right, we're going to quickly work in one more call here. Let's go to Kansas, where Danny is on the line. Danny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I give President Trump an A, for just having to put up with all the people that's, just denying him, to being the president. We voted for him. Us is us, American people. Stand behind our president.
That used to be the way it worked. And I think we saw that change during George W. Bush's administration, where, it became an us and them, not, our president. And that's, when an election took place, we usually would come back together as a nation. And that division began under Bush, and then it continued under Barack Obama with his divisive policies. And what that means, folks, is number one, we need to be praying. This administration, for the president, vice president, Congress, for that they would do the right thing and have the courage to do the right thing. And we need to speak up, as you've done here today. And not just on, this radio program, on others, friends, at church. Look, this is an opportunity to see America turn around. We've got to reverse these bad policies that will still destroy this nation because they're still in place. All right, man, great to be with you today. I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.